Well, last week we finished our series on kingdom living, and today we are continuing an idea of the kingdom of God and how that we are chosen and blessed, who we are in Christ. Chosen and blessed, who we are in Christ. So we are kingdom people, kingdom, God's kingdom. We're reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Now, this is a power-packed scriptures. I pray we do it justice, but you can go back over it and read it again and again, and if you don't have a Bible, you can write in, buy one. So, should be able to write in them. We're talking about other for people from long ago. Alice Repko was a faithful member here for, well, all her life, and she would always write down a date whenever I spoke on the scripture. And so she'd say, "You know, you spoke on that 4 years ago." So, but the thing with me is I don't remember, so I have to write it over again anyhow. So Paul, chapter 1, verse 1 of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to praise of his glorious grace, which has been freely given to one who he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavishes on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put on our hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, when you believed. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's chosen to the praise of his glory. That is a power-packed scriptures that you can spend weeks on just one verse, but don't worry, I'll just spend a few days. So, I haven't changed. So the central theme of these verses is verse 4. For he chose us for himself. Okay? When we're putting this in perspective, it says, for he chose us in him, and another translation says, for he chose us for himself. So as we start to put these things together that are situated here in these verses, we've got to understand God chose us for himself. Now, so we understand, we're going to talk about deep predestined and, you know, different things like that, and people have a lot of different ways of interpreting, but I always look at God knows the decision that you're going to make. And so, does God say one's going to heaven, one's going to hell? No. He just knows the decisions that we're making, and we decide where we go. You know, are we going to believe or not believe? And so there was a guy on radio, it was Harold Camping. He's the one who predicted a date in which Jesus was going to return. And, of course, it didn't happen, and people sold their houses and gave him money, and then they called him up and said, well, we don't have a house to live in. He said, well, I never told you to sell your house. But anyhow, his theology said, does a child baby go to heaven? Well, if it was predestined to go to heaven, it would go to heaven. If it was not predestined to go to heaven, it would go to hell. See, no, we don't believe that. That there is children, young babies, until the age of accountability, God's grace is great enough to that they are forgiven and they are going to go to heaven when they die. But if they die. So in our life, we're looking at this, that God has chosen us for himself before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight and love. So the importance of verse 4 is a divine election. A divine election, which is emphasized here in the fact that he chose us. Right? People say, well, I'm not good enough. You don't know how bad I've been. You know what's it? No, no, no. It has nothing to do with it. He chose us, he knows us before the world began, before the beginning began, God is, and he chose us at that time period. Some believe that this divine election, that this verse proves that they will go to heaven no matter what, how they live their life. You know, I've spoken with people, you can't tell that they're any different than any other person on the street. But they say they think they're going to heaven because at one point they belong to a church. Then, of course, there are those that say, I'm just too bad, and God knows he's going to put me in hell anyhow, so I might as well enjoy myself. That's not true. God's election does not operate apart from our responsibilities. So God calls us. It is not the will of God that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So God calls everyone. It is not the will of God that anyone go to hell. It is the will of God that everyone go to heaven. He has called every person. But we know some people don't answer the phone, don't answer the call, and they walk away from God. So we want to establish that as we go through this text. So the divine call of God is for everyone. We find that the divine call, is it something that we hear? Is it something that somebody else tells us? Where does it come from? How does it get here? Well, it's important that we know that the call of God is in our hearts and in our spirit to follow him, to be with him. And he kind of gives us this question, who are you? Okay. It's a soul-searching question. Who are you? What are you here for? And it isn't that God is challenging us and saying, who are you? He's wanting us to understand what he is trying to give us. On Wednesday, we were studying the scripture, and Jesus was telling the disciples that he's going away, that he's going to die on the cross. And in a while longer you will see me, you won't see me, and in a while longer you'll see me again. And so the disciples are all upset. Where are you going? How are you getting there? And the question that was posed is, did the disciples ever ask him why he was leaving? They only responded as what they were going to feel about his leaving. And sometimes we need to go beyond what we're feeling and seeing and sensing. That we have questions about how all of this affects us. But there is, behind all of that, there is it's like the wall that's there, and we're seeing the wall of all of life. But on the other side of it, God is there. He's here too. But what is the purpose behind all this? And we may never know. But we want to find out, we want to understand who we are as a person. And why God? What is the reason that God called us before the world began? So, people spend a lifetime trying to answer the question. They have their careers, they have their relationships, they have achieved some status, they have climbed the ladder of success. And of course, my favorite story about climbing the ladder of success is John Maxwell. He says, some people climb the ladder of success only to find out the ladder's against the wrong building. So, and I think, people need to know where they're going when they're climbing the ladder. So, Paul begins Ephesians by saying, your identity is not achieved, it is received. So in our faith, sometimes in our religion, we are caught up in doing things for God, and hopefully we can do enough to make God happy. But the reality is that our identity in Christ is nothing that we achieve. It is something that he gives to us. Our salvation, we took communion, and that Christ died for our sins. It is something, we can't pay the penalty for our sins, but we can receive the forgiveness of our sins. We can't make God do something, but we can receive the blessing of God in our life. So we're about receiving what God is doing, receiving the Word, receiving the Spirit to come into our hearts and lives. And like the disciples, we need to go beyond on the other side of, why is he dying? Why is he going away? They never got there. They just saw all the pain that was going to come to them, and everything they believed in was going to fail, and they didn't see beyond it. So, you and I, we're not who somebody says we are, the world, our families. You and I are who God says we are. We are his children. He chose you and I for himself. He chose you and I for himself. Our worth is not measured by what we do for God, but by what God does through us in Christ. Isn't this something how we often think, well, about with God, what am I going to do for God? What is God doing through us? What does he want to do through me? What is it, God, that I am to do? And so you have to empower me to do this. You know, we often think that, well, I couldn't do that, I couldn't go there, I couldn't minister to Muslims, I couldn't, you know, it's like lots of things couldn't do. I couldn't be a brain surgeon. Well, I did watch a video once. That's a joke. So anyhow, we are to recognize that God is doing something in our lives and that he's doing it through us. So our worth is not measured by what we do, but what Christ does. The takeaway from this series in Ephesians, and in Ephesians chapter 4 through 6 later on, Paul tells us how we are to live. Okay, that's later on. But today and in the next couple weeks, God here, he is telling us who we are in Christ. Who are you in Jesus? See, we're different when God is in our life. So you are chosen by the Father. You have been selected by divine initiative. Think about that. Chosen by the Father, you have been selected by divine initiative. God took the initiative to call you to be his child. You were picked out. You were selected. You were chosen for him. This is God's interaction. This is in God's initiative to call us to be his child. His love, foreknowledge, and his purpose. Chosen does not mean random selection or accident. It is a specific call that he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew what was going on, and he knew all the stuff that we would need in our life. And it's not that we're going to understand all the stuff that happens in our life, but we're going to have a base that says, I am secure in Christ. He is a solid rock upon which I stand. And then we are able to see what God is doing, or hopefully receive what God is doing in our life. In him, in Christ, Jesus, in Isaiah 42:1, Jesus is the chosen one. Okay, in Isaiah 42:1, he is the chosen one. And when we are united with him by faith, we share in that chosen status. I am one with him, we are chosen. Just as he is the chosen one, we are chosen with him. Verses 3 through 6, I'm going to read those again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Has blessed us. It's a past tense. So when we, I mean, often we think of things, well, what's my future have? I heard a man on one of the archaeological thing digs. He says, the future is set. The past is what we're uncovering. Archaeologist. That's what we're unfolding. As you're digging through all the, you know, like in Israel, digging through the layers of civilizations and time periods. So our future is set. It's our past that is being unfolded. And what God is doing is, in the past, God has, in the past tense, he has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So every spiritual blessing, it is something that God is doing, has done, that the blessings of God are to be bestowed upon us, and we're trying to figure out how to unlock that blessing to flow into our life. And it's by accepting that God chose us and he loves us. Remember the story of the individual goes to heaven and he goes into the warehouse and there's all these boxes on shelf upon shelf upon shelf. And he says to St. Peter, he says, what are all those boxes? He says, oh, those are all the things that God wanted to give to each individual, and they never believed enough to get them. You know? He says, where's mine? But the idea is God has blessings and he has things in store for us, but it's important that we choose to follow him. Verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. I think that's what trips us up, holy and blameless. That's far from who I am. You know, that's far from what I've been. Well, that's not the point. In Christ, we are saved. In Christ, we are forgiven. In Christ, we have eternal life. We are his for an eternity, and he wants it that way. We are chosen before time. I wrote in here, before there was a Jurassic Park. You know, before the dinosaurs and all that, before there was a Jurassic Park, there was God, and God chose you. Before creation, before sin, before failure, God saw you and loved you. Before any mistakes were made on this planet, God knew you would be here. This isn't random selection, it's divine. It's a divine affection. He loves you. His choice makes us worthy. We're not worthy, but his choice makes us worthy. Paul says what God did in verse 5. He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. So the idea is God has adopted us. I thought of a friend of mine. He had five daughters. I think it was five or six or seven. He had a bunch of them. And so when they were young, he and his wife decided they would adopt a child from Central America. So they adopted a girl from Central America, and this girl grew up in the family of all girls. And one day, whenever this girl who was adopted, she's in her 20s or maybe her late 20s, she goes to the doctor's office, and they're doing an intake for her, and they said, well, tell us about your history, your family history. So she starts rattling off who her adopted mother is. And then after halfway through it, she says, oh, she's not my mother. So we find that for us to think that we are not good enough to be adopted, we've been putting up boundaries. God is saying, you are my child. I've adopted you. And you know, if you have a child who's been adopted, sometimes I think that they would wonder, what should I do now? You know, do they ever feel safe? Well, what you would do is get out the papers and say, here it is, these are the papers that say I adopted you. And so here we are, we get out the papers that says I'm adopted by the blood of Jesus Christ and I'm brought into the family of God because of what he does, what he has done for me. And so God predestined us for adoption, meaning that we were chosen by God to be his child. And we said, yes. We said yes. He predestined us. It is, to think of it in the context, It is God's sovereign purpose to love you. It's God's sovereign purpose to bless you. To withhold no, the scripture says, to withhold no good thing. Adoptions are new family status. We have a new family status. So we need to keep that in mind as we move forward. According to the purpose of his will, according to God's good pleasure and plan, God adopted us. Think about that. It was his will and his predetermined plan that you be his child. Okay? So, God has adopted us as his son and daughter. One of the things is human parents that adopt a child, they become legal responsibilities. But the characteristic of the adopted parents cannot be, they're not transferred to the adopted child. They're not of their lineage, they're not of their DNA, of the parents' DNA. But we find out in Christ, when Christ has adopted us, we become like him. He bestows his blessing, his character, he puts that inside of us. We can't do that as adoptive parents, but Christ does that as he adopts us to be his children. So we are allowed, we are to recognize his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his, in, you know, all the good things that are God's, that he has bestowed them upon us. And that's part of being adopted. In the Roman culture, an adoption meant that the adopted child has rights and he has the inheritance of the people who adopted him. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Being in Christ, Christ saved me from my sin. I'm in Christ. He is in me. And he's saying that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. That's who we are. We have a new life in Christ. We have a new beginning. A new life every day. Every morning, the promises of God are renewed. So, next is the purpose of his choosing. Why did he choose me? Why did he choose you? So, we go back to verse 4b, the second part of it, which says, for he chose us in himself, in him, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. You are a complete person in Christ. We have here both the purpose and the result. We have the purpose to be holy and then to be blameless. The purpose and the result of what God has called us, that we are forgiven and that we are blameless when we stand before God. You know, the accuser says, oh, they did this, they did that, they did it. Jesus said, no, they're forgiven. There's none of that against them anymore. We are holy and blameless, purpose and result. Unrighteous people are declared righteous. Unworthy sinners are called, are worthy of salvation. All because we are chosen in Christ. We are forgiven. We are his. So, what else do I got here? I got tons of stuff. I'm only good for another hour, right? Okay. Yeah. So for us, no matter how you feel or what goes wrong or what goes right, you are Christ's child. Get the papers out. Read the papers. Read the Bible. Know what it's saying. So we live from your identity, not for your identity. We live from the idea that I am a child of God. I live from that. That's my basis. I belong to God. He is in me. I am in him. The Spirit of God abides within us. We are in this place, this, you know, standing on the rock, Jesus Christ. That there's no other foundation. So we got all of that in place. I am living from this identity. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we're not trying to say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm living for this. I have to do this, you know, but it's who we are in Christ. You are redeemed by his Son, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. There again, we have redemption. It means to buy back or to set free by paying a price. You know, you think of, how many redeem coupons? Okay, all of you, somebody's not telling the truth. You redeem coupons. What does that say? You take the coupon, and the company is saying they're either going to pay them or take that from off of the bill for your redeeming your coupon. Well, in Christ, he has redeemed us. He has bought us back from our sin. He has purchased us by his death on the cross and his resurrection. So Jesus didn't just forgive you. He purchased you from slavery. He purchased you from the slavery of sin, the chains of sin, the things that would do you harm in this life and prevent you from eternal life in the next. God delivered for you. Your value equals the price paid. Your value is determined by the price paid. And how much did Jesus pay? He paid it all. He became a human so he could die. That he would come and die for us so that we could live for him. We are forgiven and free. Verse 7, the second part. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Notice that with grace, you know, there's a song, grace has no measure. It's unlimited, but here Paul is saying, grace, what is it? Grace has no measure. Grace here is lavished. Grace is God's unmerited favor. You don't earn it. He gives it to you, and he lavishes it upon us. So in verse 9 and 10, he made known to us the mystery of his will, to unite all things in Christ. The mystery of his will. That's where we get into the whys and the whens and why, hows and what, why, did it, you know, the questions of life. But what God is saying, he made known to us the mystery of his will. God will make known to us these things. Why? Because all things will be united unto him. The Bible says all things work together for good to those who love him, called according to his purpose. So we can't see good. We're looking at it like the disciples. Where are you going? Why can't we go with you? You know, how we, and they didn't look beyond. Well, Jesus, what is your purpose for this? And so for us, we can't really see that far, but we can know that God is with us. Verse 13 and 14. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. What Jesus did was, in order to guarantee that he was telling the truth, he says, I'm going to go to heaven and I will send you another comforter. The other comforter is one just like himself, and that person is the Holy Spirit. It's the seal of ownership. That the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and he has sent him to be with us. And he is the Spirit that abides within us, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. What's he going to do? Quicken your mortal bodies. So the same Spirit who seals us in our faith also empowers us. So we live from the blessings, not for the blessings. What is God going to do next? No, what has he already done? Our faith is established, and we're going forward, and God continues to bless us. So the message is, we're going to go back to how we began. Let's go back to page one, which is the scriptures for our text. Think about this. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Praise be to God. It's being thankful for what God has already done. Verse 4, for he chose us in him. He chose, he selected, he handpicked you before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. We can't do that on our own. We need him. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace. Grace, unmerited favor. We have praise to that. And we one other verse, verse 11. In him we were also chosen. In him we were chosen. Chosen to be his follower, his child. And that's why he came and died for us. And to think God did all of this before there was any aspect of creation. Eternity past. God had you in mind. And he knew you completely. He knows your future. He knows your past. He knows your present. He is here with us to forgive us of our past, to give us strength for the present, and hope for the future. We are chosen by the Father. We are redeemed by the Son. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And he walks with us every moment of every day. Shall we pray? Jesus, we thank you for all these things that you have accomplished for us. Lord, there's so much of it here. As we pray, as we go back over these verses, that you just help us to remember and make those applications to our hearts and life. We ask you to touch us, Lord, in a way that opens our heart and we feel comfortable in your presence. Lord, if we have sinned, we ask for your forgiveness. Forgive us of every sin, Lord, and live within our heart. It's our confession. Lord, we are not sinless, but God, you have come to us to redeem us and that our sins would be gone. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. So do that if you would like. God, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, we thank you for that. And Lord, we see these promises that have been given to us through the scriptures. See what love the Father hath lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We are your children. So we're just going to pause for 30 seconds, and I want you to think about what we've been saying and think about how the Spirit can move and work in your life to remember you are redeemed and set free. So we'll just wait for 30 seconds here and let God speak to you. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for the love of Jesus Christ that forgives us, establishes us, and that we are your child now and forevermore. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.